How does that sound? All right, it's a real pleasure to be here. Anybody recognize this? Sort of popular these days. They're all over the web. Keep calm and trust God. Back in 1939, when the European continent was ready to invade England, and there were a lot of fears around, the British government developed a series of posters that said, "Keep calm and carry on." And it was designed to quiet the population and give them confidence and to remind them in the face of adversity, that they would overcome. And they went through some dark times, some times that were much darker than they expected. Things got even worse than they wished. But ultimately, through the help of Allied forces, they overcame and they conquered. And today, we can adopt a theme like this for our personal lives too, to keep calm and to trust God for all the things that come to us in our lives. Life throws a lot of stuff at you, and the intensity is great. And we encourage our students at the college. Every year we have a theme, and this year our theme is from Proverbs 3, verse 5, a passage that was on, probably for many of us, it's a passage that maybe we placed on a wedding invitation or at an important time in our lives, but trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. And so we encourage our students at the college with this theme. This year is a theme that we have, and we have them memorizing that passage to keep calm and to trust God. So it's an important thought that I bring before you. Pardon my voice. And thank you for the water. And I have to confess, where did I put those lifesavers? You know, here they are. I hope I don't have to give them back. I think it's when I was in high school. And I was attending the Willowdale Assembly in Toronto when I was in high school there. And I may have come here for a youth conference at that time. So, you know, if I need to give this back, that was a few years ago. I think it was in the 70s, before the internet, so I'm confident that there's no records either. But nobody knows I was here. But I do remember being here at that time. I'd like to share a little bit of testimony and a little bit of that tonight too, and a little bit more about Emmaus Bible College tonight with a few PowerPoint charts. And I understand that there's a time of singing, so it'll be a brief time tonight. But this morning, just a little brief testimony, and we're going to turn to Psalm 107 as well and look at some verses on the impact of the Word of God in the lives of different categories of people. So we're going to turn there and read some verses, and I'm going to start just by reading some of my favorite verses. They're verses that were placed before me as a junior camper at Beacon Bible Camp. When I first started going as a senior camper, as a high school student, is when I first started going there. And these verses were precious to me. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the adversary, and gathered from the lands, from the east and the west, from the south and the north. Truly, we have much to be grateful for the goodness of God, and His hand in keeping and guiding, and His loving kindness truly is everlasting. But sometimes things come into our lives that veil to us His goodness, or cause it to be confusing. And so it's good to, as we will read through this psalm and look at some passages, to encourage ourselves as to how the Word of God, in fact, can impact people. So just by way of further personal introduction, so greetings from Dubuque, Iowa. And that sounds like a long way away. It sounds like a bunch of cornfields in the middle of nowhere. And, well, it's not quite that. It's a beautiful city on the Mississippi River, about 150 miles west of Chicago. Many times when we travel through Chicago. The Lord moved Emmaus Bible College from the city of Toronto, where at Central Gospel Hall, it was founded in 1941 and started as an evening school and moved to Chicago later on and then moved to Dubuque, Iowa. And that's where we're located. There are people that you know that are involved, that some of you know. Ian Taylor is one of our board members of the college, and we're thankful for his ministry and involvement. I've renewed a strong friendship with him as I moved to Emmaus Bible College and got involved there and got to also meet with him. And Andrew Nunn is also often coming there and traveling and involved in the ministry at Emmaus Correspondence School as well. We are a Bible college, but also offer degrees in other areas. So everybody at Emmaus studies the Bible. That's the foundation of why we exist and what motivated me to go there. My journey, my pathway, my Psalm 107 took me from Toronto down to New Jersey to go to college and study engineering. And there in the assembly, I met my wife, Evelyn. We were in the Wayne Assembly, and then later we moved to the Philadelphia area in Wilmington, Delaware, and later we moved to a different Bible chapel amongst the Open Brethren, and that's when I first heard about Emmaus Bible College. During that time, Beacon Bible Camp was always dear to me. I used to come back. We came back for family camp. We came back to work with kids. One of my dearest mentors was Brother Bill Weir, for Junior Boys Camp. He was the leader of Junior Boys for many years, and along with Brother Daniel Gamper, we served together, and they took me under their wing when I was just a teenager, and they mentored me, and they showed me how to work with kids and with young people. And I'll tell you, this is the truth. I don't think there's been a year since the year I went to Beacon that I haven't been to Bible camp for the summer. And the Lord moved us on to minister at different camps, including Hickory Cove Bible Camp over the last years, where we go every summer now, but Living Waters Bible Camp, and some of the camps that you're familiar with and others that have become new to me as well. So it isn't necessarily about a particular place, but it's about a ministry to young people, to children. And the Lord put that passion in our hearts. It's something that we've done every year in some way or another, working with young people, working with youth from an early time. And as a result of that, after working for many years in industry and marketing and business management, traveling in many places, the Lord put it on our heart to consider leaving the work career. And as we heard that Emmaus Bible College wanted to begin a program in business administration, we wanted young people at the college not only to study the Word, but that when they left, they could get jobs and that they could take the Word back to their assemblies, back to their community, the churches where they serve, back to their workplaces, and that they could be salt and light, and taking that biblical foundation and bringing it to all of society. And so we felt led that we should leave Delaware, where we had been, and move to Emmaus and help begin that program. So I didn't know anything about academia. It was brand new to me, teaching. I thought I'd be sitting around with my feet on the desk with a tweed jacket and a pipe, maybe, although not a smoker, but I thought, you know, that was the academic life. Well, believe me, it was a lot busier than that. And then a few years after I began, then the president of the college resigned and moved on to something else, and there was a need for new leadership. And before you know it, I was appointed to the new leadership position. And so I'm able to use the business experience, the marketing, the management, as well as really the passion for young people and youth and ministry and for the Word of God that was instilled in us from a young age. So we're thankful that, you know, the Lord equips you with unique history, with a pathway that he's taken you on, with experiences he's given you. And then he calls you and he says, come and do this. And it might be a neighbor he's calling you to reach. It might be a particular ministry role that he's asking you to serve in. But the Lord knocks on the door of your heart. Perhaps you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Perhaps he's just knocking to come in and fellowship with you and be your Savior. Perhaps he wants to come and know you in that personal way. Perhaps you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And so it may sound like a mystery to you, but it's a life of serving, a fellowship with the Lord and serving him is a life of great fulfillment, is a life that's not focused on yourself, but focused on a greater purpose, focused on the kingdom of God and his things. So when we moved to Iowa, my wife was a little suspicious. She grew up in New Jersey, East Coast, busy population, not many cornfields out there. And her family and her network of friends was out there. And so when I said, honey, we're moving to Iowa, I think her first reaction was, see you later. But, you know, it doesn't really work like that. And so we prayed about it. But it's been a challenge, making new friends, a new place. But the Lord has been with us and helped us to settle there and bless the ministry there and helped her as well. So let's sort of get a little further into Psalm 107 and look, which is where I wanted to spend a little time. So basically, there are different sections in Psalm 107 that speak about the impact of the Word of God. And the first thing that we see in the beginning of this psalm is that the Lord is the Redeemer in verse 2. That the Lord is the Redeemer. It says he has redeemed. And for that, we're asked to say so. For that, we're asked to bear testimony. To speak of the things that the Lord has done in each of our lives. And I would encourage you. I would encourage each of us in the place where he's put you. If he's put you in an office, if he's put you in a neighborhood, if he's put you in a place of ministry, that's more specific. But I'd encourage you that the Lord is your Redeemer. And he brought you out of something, and he placed you into something. And when he placed you into something, he has high hopes for each of us, that we might bear testimony to him, that we might be there for him. Now it says in verse 3 that he's gathered us from the lands, from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south. And when I look around this room, I think it's very true right here in this Grace and Truth Chapel right here in Windsor, that the Lord has indeed brought people from many parts of the world, from many parts of the nation. But perhaps more than the physical places that the Lord has brought you from, you might think about it's more significant than this, just the geographical locations, but the spiritual journey that the Lord has brought you. Why has he placed you right here in this fellowship, in this place? And why has he brought you here even on this day to hear the Word of God? We experience that at our college too, that students come from many places. To be honest, some of them, their parents drop them off to fix them. Say, here, you take care of them. And it's a great blessing to have the opportunity to work. Yeah, there are some kids. You know, are there any of you here that have broken homes? Yes, indeed. It's across society. It invades all of our culture. It invades the churches we're in. It invades the workplaces we're in. It invades godly Christian families. We're shaken to the core sometimes by the things that we experience in the ones near us and around us and our loved ones. I can say that for myself, and I'm sure you can too. So God brings you on a journey, but he brings you through those things. He brings you to a place where he speaks to you. And so the Lord has brought you to this place. He's brought you to this place to hear his word. If we look at verses 4 to 9, there's four sections. Verses 4 to 9, we see how men are guided by God's word. In verses 10 to 16, we'll look at how men are challenged by God's word. In verses 17 to 22, we'll look at how men are changed by God's word. And then finally, in verse 23, and the latter section, how men are saved through the word of God. So we'll look at these things regarding the word of God here, these four sections briefly. So starting in, continuing on from where we started, that the Lord has brought you here, and the Lord has brought you through life to a place in life, to a physical, to a spiritual place where the Lord is speaking to you. And praise God if he never stops speaking to you, if he never stops calling you. When God stops speaking to you, that's a serious thing. But God is willing and calling all to repentance. He wishes that everyone would come to him. So as long as you're alive and breathing, there's still an opportunity to hear God's word. Let's read verses 4 to 9, because this might represent where some of us are at. They wandered in the wilderness, in a desert region. They did not find a way to an inhabited city. They were hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distress. He led them also by a straight way to go to an inhabited city. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness, for his wonders to the sons of men. For he has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul he has filled with what is good. Perhaps you're hungry and thirsty to know, in fact, to understand a little bit more deeply, or just maybe to begin to understand, what is God's direction for your life? Do you have this wondering? Do you have this hunger and thirst? Do you desire to know what God is speaking to you? Some of you perhaps are here to find fulfillment. You're not finding it in life. Life has its rough edges. Life is brief, too. I could share the testimony of my own brother. Some of you remember my brother, Peter Jr. I was riding a motorcycle with him, he and I on separate bicycles, and the Lord took him home in an accident. And there he was, gone. The angels of God took him to heaven on that day. And the angels, I firmly believe on that day that the angels preserved my life for God's purpose. And why me and why not him? I don't know. There are things in life that are mysteries. How sad to hear what has just taken place here at the Christian school, and the passing away of a young man. When I get back tomorrow evening, there's a funeral in Dubuque of a lady, middle-aged lady, leaving behind five children, a couple of adult, but a couple of teenage kids, too, where cancer came in and every best medical effort was made, but it was not God's way. And so we come through trials and tribulations in life. I've experienced and been close to them. And out of them, do we walk away from God? Or is God drawing us to himself to teach us a little bit more about himself? What it says here in these verses, that they wandered, and perhaps you wonder. Wander with an A in this case. Perhaps you wander with an O as well. You wonder what is going on. But you wander. In other words, sometimes it's with aim and sometimes less so. That you go from place to place or from situation to situation, and things don't really add up. With hunger and thirst. And where they came to, in this journey in verse 6 was they cried out to the Lord, and he delivered them in their distress. And it says he led them forth by the right way. We could look at one other verse in Psalm 119, verse 105. I think you're familiar with that verse. It's not a mystery verse at all, but we'll turn to it to remind ourselves of how God guides us. In so many ways he guides us, but in Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Is your path dark? Is the future before you a mystery? Are there things that are uncertain in your future? Well, welcome to the human race. That's true for every one of us. There's nothing in life that's certain. No relationship on earth lasts. Things break down, but God's word is a light to our path. His word, the entrance of his word, gives light. And what we read in Psalm 107 is that he led them by a straight way, that the Lord shed light on the path through his word. So that is why I'm so passionate about teaching the word of God, about teaching it to young people, about teaching it in an assembly setting. The opportunity for the word of God to be encouraging, to challenge us in the darkness of life. That certainly there are times of hunger and thirst and fainting, but we come to the end of ourselves. We come to the place where there's really nowhere else to cry but to God. When we realize that life cannot ultimately satisfy us, that relationships fail, money fails, our houses fail, but ultimately there is a God in heaven who seeks for us, who searches us, and who has his hand stretched forth to us and says, come unto me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So we have a God who brings us to the end of ourselves sometimes in order that we might turn to him, that breaks down our self-confidence to the point that we have confidence in no one else but him. Well, let's go on to verse 10. So in these first verses, we saw that God indeed can guide, that he brings us to the end of our wandering, ourselves. But in verse 10 to 16, we might be challenged by God's word in some particular area. There were those, it says in verse 10, who dwelt in darkness, in the shadow of death, prisoners in misery and chains, because they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he humbled their heart with labor. They stumbled, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death. He broke their bands apart. Notice the emphasis on who's doing the work in this passage. And so the response, let them, here's the refrain, let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and his wonders to the sons of men. For he has shattered the gates of bronze and has cut the bars of iron asunder. So some of you may be presently be challenged in some area of obedience in your life, in your walk. And verse 10 describes the effect of disobedience. Dwelling in darkness, walking in the shadow of death. And verse 11 provides the underlying cause for that, because they had rebelled against the word of God. So we come here weekly. We hear the word of God. It was precious this morning to remember the Lord Jesus together, for those who were here for the first service, and remembering him and his death. We come here to this very intense, this rich environment where there's fellowship with believers, where the Lord Jesus Christ is in our midst, and where the Word of God is taught and presented. So there's all of this resource here. And we want to be bathed in it. We want to enjoy it. We're surrounded in this place by mentors and by examples. And yet, perhaps we go out in verse 11. Perhaps we still rebel against the Word of God. Perhaps the second half of that verse, they spurned the counsel of the Most High. So we can come to this place. We can come to fellowship with one another. We could be richly deepened in our understanding. It can be a time of intellectual discovery too. That's certainly so as I speak for the Bible College, where we dig into theology and understand the aspects of the Bible. And as you meet here and you do it in your Bible studies, sure, there's this tremendous environment of privilege where we know the Word of God and we have those who are able to teach the Word of God and we appreciate so much about it. But we would ask ourselves in this time of our lives, is it a season in which we would not only bow to the intellectual side of learning, but bow to the authority of God's Word, that we would really learn to bow to what it says, not just to how it stimulates us and how it makes us feel when we worship, but that it's really not about me, but it's about God. And that when we worship, it is wonderful to worship Him. It's inspiring. But ultimately, it's about Him. And when we walk out here, are we really living in obedience to Him? Are we walking with Him? Are we answering the call that He's putting before us? Is He knocking on the door of your heart? And is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in front of you? Do you understand the way to heaven as the Lord presented that to you, and you still want to get there with your own works? Have you opened up your heart to Him, but there's areas of your life that you just want to keep to yourself? Are there, verse 16, are there gates of bronze and bars of iron that are crossing your heart, preventing you giving yourself fully to the Lord, because there are things in your life that you know are not quite the way they should be, or some area that you just won't quite give up? You may remember some years ago there was a little booklet, My Heart, Christ's Home, by Robert Munger. And he speaks about all the rooms in the home, and that there was a video on it too. I think when I saw it was probably a reel-to-reel film when it first came out. But anyway, it was just going around and showing, well, he had the living room, he had the kitchen, but he had this one dirty closet he didn't want to let the Lord in. And ultimately, to have complete peace and victory in his life, he had to give that last room to the Lord as well and give it all to the Lord. And so is there something that's holding you back? And if there is, if you can place your finger on it, praise God, bless the Lord if He's pointing that out to you, if He's telling you what it is, if He's telling you where it is that you need to surrender and give it over to Him. As long as you don't, you'll be represented by verse 10, that there will be an area of your life where you dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and there will be an area of bars. So the Word of God is able to free you. The Word of God is able to give you opportunity to serve in freedom and liberty. So challenged by God's Word, allow it to have an impact in your life and be free to serve Him. Verse 17 to 22, fools, because of their rebellious ways and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distress. Look at verse 20. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And here's the refrain. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. Let them also offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his works with joyful singing. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He sent his word. We read of the source of the ability for change to take place in our life. We've looked at the journey that we're on and the challenge of God's word, and now we see here that God can change us through his word. That it says he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. This is an amazing book. I'm currently going through a class in New Testament survey at Emmaus Bible College myself. I go to class twice a week because I haven't ever taken that class. I've studied the Word of God my whole life, but I'm actually doing it to get academic credit and sitting in class and experiencing what our students experience. And we teach Old Testament survey, New Testament survey, all those areas of Bible. But I'm personally going through that, and it's enlightening and revealing to me. It's amazing when we study the Word of God sequentially, what it can do. But God, it says he sent us his word. As we have been studying New Testament, and once again, not that I've never looked at these things, but understand how the Word of God came together, how God preserved it in the beginning, and through the ages pointed out what was his word. And through the generations of the last several thousand years, the martyrs who have given their lives to preserve this book, and the great impact that it has been to generations, the most published, most purchased book in all history, and still a balm and a cure for many people. I have a story I'm going to tell you when we finish up here of how the Word of God saved a man I worked with. So the Word of God is powerful, is sharper than a two-edged sword. It's able to penetrate into the souls of men, and it's so enlightening and inspiring for people to read the Word of God and see how it impacts and changes them. So when we dig into the Word of God, we find Christ in the Old Testament. One of the theme verses of the college is Luke 24, verse 27, that the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Emmaus, that beginning with Moses and the prophets, he taught them all the things concerning himself from the Old Testament. So the Word of God is rich with Old Testament and New Testament pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that my prayer would be that you would see some of the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ in this Bible, in this Word of God. And as we read it, as we simply look at it, as we simply absorb what's in it, then verse 20 applies to us. He sent his word and he healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Are there destructions in your life? Are there things within or without that are tearing your life apart? The Word of God can bring encouragement and salvation to you. The Word of God which presents Christ to you. So may the Word of God reach deeply into your life, into all the areas of your life, and may the Word of God truly have an impact and change you. So let's look at this last passage, because time's slipping away. We have till 2 o'clock, right? 1:20 or so, another five minutes. Okay, so these last verses. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they have seen the works of the Lord and the wonders, his wonders in the deep. For he spoke and raised up a stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They rose up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their soul melted away in misery. They reeled and staggered like a drunken man, and they were at their wits' end. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. He brought them out of their distress. He caused the storm to be still, so that the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they were quiet, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them, here's the refrain again, let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and his wonders to the sons of men. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the seat of the elders. This is a section that I love. It speaks about doing business, global business. It's what I did for many years, traveling many places in the world, doing business. These days I traveled in planes, not in ships, but doing business on great waters. When I started working for DuPont, which was a company I worked for in 1980, in the cubicle next to me, there was a young man. He was a Jewish man from New York City. He had gone to University of Michigan, also an engineer, and he worked right next to me. His name is Gary. And Gary was a business person. I could tell right from the beginning that he was going to be successful. He was already telling us what to do and organizing things, and soon he was promoted, and soon he was running an operation and then a marketing division. And over the years, Gary and the cubicle next to me, I moved on as well to different areas of business. Gary moved to Asia and lived in Hong Kong for a number of years. And I observed him in different roles, in different facets of business. And often he asked me, what are you doing with your vacation? And I said, well, I'm going to Bible camp for the week. And, you know, I was not, my testimony at work was not where that I was a Bible thumper and running around waving it. I was a quiet testimony, and the Lord used that in quiet ways at different times, and ready to give an answer when asked. And it was a blessing to be known as a Christian in a place that I enjoyed working, where I have many good colleagues, but most of them were not believers. And so they knew who I was and what I stood for. And so Gary just often would ask, and he would say, that's interesting. Why are you doing that? Why are you spending your vacation? And not that he was critical of it. He was a very curious person. He was like, what motivates you to do that? So I told him a little bit. He said, interesting. And over the years, he grew in his responsibilities, and he ultimately became a vice president of the company and then a president of one of the largest divisions of the company. And on the day that I left DuPont to move to Dubuque to go to Emmaus Bible College, Gary called me over to his office to say goodbye. And he says, I'm going to tell you something that I haven't shared too much yet. He said, when I lived in Hong Kong, I tried Hindu religion, I tried Eastern religion, but it didn't satisfy me. I tried my Jewish traditions. He says, they didn't work either. When I lived in Europe, he lived in Switzerland for a while. He said, the churches were empty. I didn't find God there. So somebody gave me a Bible, and on a evening in a hotel, I knelt by my bed and I received Christ as my Savior. It's like, wow. You know, no credit. I didn't preach the gospel to him, just a quiet testimony. But, you know, God saved him. God reached into that man's life, a man who was doing business on the big waters of the world, going around and seeking to enhance his career and enhance the business and do a good job, a very solid person he is. But in the storms of business, in the storms of the world, God reached out and reached down and reached into his soul with the Word of God and saved him and brought him to himself simply by reading the Bible, simply by bringing him to himself. He was like a man who was at his wit's end, searching for meaning and purpose in life. And God, in verse 29, it says, he caused the storm to be still so that the waves of the sea were hushed. That was the experience that this man had, that God caused the storms in his life to be still. And since then, he's an officer of the corporation still. And they get together with the board members sometimes and the senior officers, and they have to share something about themselves personally, tell some things that have been impactful in your life. And usually, he said, you know, they share some story about an experience they had. And one of the last times that they got together, he felt like, wow, I have to really tell what's really the most important things in my life, something that's impacted me deeply, which is Jesus Christ, which in a corporate multicultural diversity is the buzzword of the day, is a tough thing to share, that what's impacted me most is Jesus Christ, and I'm a follower of Him, and I've come to know Him, and it's given me real purpose and meaning in my life. In fact, it's brought me to the place of knowing who God is, of having a relationship with Him that I desired and did not have and sought for. It's filled a hole in my life. And so he had the boldness to share. And as we come to the end here, in verse 32, an example of a man who says, let them extol them also in the congregation of the people. Taking to heart the beginning of this psalm, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And again, I'm not saying he's walking into those meetings waving his Bible and saying, you all need to be saved, but just sharing what God has done in his life, just simply being a testimony. This is who I am. You be who you want to be, but this is who I am. This is what God has done in my life. It's a great way to testify to what God has done. I met with him just a few weeks ago. I was back in Wilmington and had breakfast with him. And he's just going on for the Lord and seeking the Lord's direction in his life. Still has a lot of responsibility and is able to connect with people in the workplace on a spiritual level now. When he sees people going through heartache. You know, I'll tell you, I worked for this guy and he was tough. You know, if my numbers weren't right, if my plan wasn't good, if things were not on track, I remember sometimes walking out of his office, you know, and this was before he was a believer, and I remember walking out with my tail between my legs a few times going, oh my, I think I'm going to lose my job. This is not good. He was tough. And I've seen how God has shaped and changed that man to be a person of compassion. He's still a tough business person. The numbers still have to add up, you know. You don't survive in business if things don't work, if there isn't a plan. So it's not to say, but just the approach, the attitude and the compassion for the person and for the wounded and for the destitute and the ones who have needs, something that I never saw before, but something that the Holy Spirit did in this man's life. So God can do that in your life. If there's emptiness, if there's lack of purpose, God can come into your life according to these verses. He can point out to you those areas that you have to let go. He can come in. He will send his word, as we read in those verses. He sent his word, and it will change you. His word will come in and have an impact in your life. Read it, my friends. Study it. Obey it. Do what's in it. And may God bless you. May he bless your ministry, your testimony, and make you effective for him and give you purpose in your life and give you joy in your service and ministry for him. So may the Lord bless you, and it's been a privilege to share some verses from this psalm. There's so much more that could be shared, and this evening perhaps an opportunity to share a little bit more about the college and about the testimony. But may God bless and encourage you on this day, on this Lord's Day. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious Holy Bible that you have given and that you have sent forth, and that is still impacting lives in many corners of the world, in places, in the high places of business, and in the low, destitute places of poverty and of distress in this world. That your word indeed is powerful. And I pray that it would have its impact in each of our personal lives, that we would let it have its course, that we would submit humbly. Help us, we pray. We need your help. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, for all that he has done in giving himself, the great sacrifice that we read about in your word. We thank you in his precious name. Amen.